Okay, hello everyone. This is Wayne Mattson live from Washington, D.C. with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup. And, well, it was quite a week. We will get to what happened to me this past week, along with the other news, and take your phone calls. The 800 number is 800-313-9443. That's toll-free, 800-313-9443. Well, you know, I've covered a lot of anti-war demonstrations here in Washington, demonstrations opposed to the globalization, World Trade Organization, all these other various events that have taken place. Of course, the police presence has always been pretty heavy. I've witnessed people being arrested in most cases for absolutely no reason except the cops wanted to flex their muscles. And we see much more of that after 9/11. This past week, I was meeting a source. And, you know, unlike a lot of people here in Washington, if I were – you know, one of these talking heads on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, if they had an altercation with the police, they would hire some PR company or one would be hired for them. They would not address anyone themselves. They'd go through these mouthpieces. Well, I'm not in that kind of journalism here in this town. That's what's wrong with this this capital city. We've got too many elitist journalists running around, hobnobbing with the people they're supposed to be covering, and more so holding their feet to the fire on things like bailouts for billionaires. So I'm just going to tell you what happened. I met a source in Alexandria. It was St. Patrick's Day night. Often a night I do not wish to be out because it's like New Year's Eve. It's a night where there's just a lot of blah and nonsense, and it's not a good night to normally be out. But a source did contact me. I went to speak to the source. All of a sudden, I noticed the source was being arrested by the police. I went to one of the people who was actually a plainclothes person, asked him what the charges were, what this individual was being arrested for. He said, "Back off." I said, "Are you a police officer?" He said, "No, I'm a fireman." I thought that could have been a flippant answer, or he might have been telling me. I found out later that firemen and even EMS technicians now have been deputized in many places, including in Alexandria, Virginia, and they carry the full weight of the law. And we'll talk about that problem and others after we come back from this short break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
With the Wayne Mattson Report, this Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. And, well, it was an exciting week in many different ways, personally and otherwise. Back to the incident that took place on March the 17th in Alexandria, where I was meeting with a source that had to do with the Stanford Financial Group collapse. The source was knowledgeable about some details. When he was taken away by the police, I might add that his wife was looking on in utter horror as she saw what was happening. When I asked the person who was in plain clothes if he were an officer, he said he was a fireman. I thought he might have been flippant. Many cops are, of course. When asked the question, I said, I was a member of the press. I showed my press credentials. He told me to back off. I said, "I just want to know what this guy is being arrested for. What are the what's the charge here?" And before I knew it, I was put up against this SUV, and I was having handcuffs put on me from behind, taken away to the police station where everything was confiscated, my reporter's notebook, what can I say? That, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you're being fingerprinted, photographed, you're in there with other people for, you know, what, you know, all kinds of different reasons, drugs, you know, assault, you name it. It's a quite a leveling experience. If you've not been arrested, I do not wish that on anyone, especially in the wake of 9/11, where apparently, as I said before, EMS technicians and firemen have been deputized as law enforcement officials in many towns, and I find that to be a very, very worrisome development. We've got too many cops already. You know, Bill Clinton with his 100,000 cops on the street was ridiculous. 100,000 cops on the street to do what? To round up people who are growing marijuana, that should be legalized. I mean, that argument should go the way of the wind on legalization of marijuana. Probably some other drugs as well need to be legalized. But these cops, obviously, you know, if I needed to find a cop here in Arlington, Virginia, I would need to look no further than the local Dunkin' Donuts, because that seems to be where they hang out. Now, I'm not saying all cops are bad. I have friends who are cops. I've had friends for my entire lifetime, almost, who have been policemen or retired policemen. There are some professional law enforcement officials. And then there are just SOBs, like the guy that I encountered on Tuesday night. Anyway, I'm happy to say the source was finally released. We'll see what happens. Now there's a lot of different alternatives. I could pay this fine. That's a guilty plea. That's a criminal record. I was told that is then entered into the Department of Homeland Security database, which goes to the Transportation Security Administration and also to the FBI. So when, you know, boarding aircraft, this type of thing could pose problems in the future. But I've already had problems boarding aircraft just because of what I've written and stories I worked on, so I'm not sure how that is a major problem. But I do believe that the TSA and the Homeland Security already have files of many of us, so I could pay the fine. That's fine. You know, I could fight this. I could plead not guilty, and I was told by my attorney that I would lose in all cases in Alexandria, Virginia. Anyway, those cases, you would lose those cases. This is a corrupt system. You cannot fight these cases. What I was charged with was drunk in public, because I was meeting this source, and obviously on St. Patrick's night, an Irish a pub. No breath test, no field sobriety, no blood test. Virginia, it turns out, still maintains laws that were on the books in Elizabethan England, that if the town, if the representatives of the town feel that you're acting in a manner that is not consistent with the morals of that town, they can charge you with disorderly conduct, drunk in public, whatever the case may be. Yes, right out of the days of the Salem witchcraft trials, if you looked weird, you were charged with witchcraft and burned at the stake or hanged or whatever the heck they did to people back then. Yes, Virginia needs to obviously modernize its laws, but it's a shame that in the state which many of our founders hailed from, George Washington, Patrick Henry, James Madison, George Mason, that we still have these arcane laws on the books where if the town representatives feel that you're not acting in accordance with the mores of that town, you can be charged with a crime. Meanwhile, Bernie Madoff, who's still in jail in New York, Madoff with well over $50 billion. Now it's estimated to be some $177 to $200 billion. But as I wrote recently, Bernie took a fall for a lot of higher-ups in the city of New York. They're not in jail. They should be in there with them. Bernie took a fall. Bernie probably says, hey, you know, what am I doing here? But he must have known he was the middleman in a huge real estate scam to turn Manhattan and other parts of the city of New York and North Jersey into Las Vegas, East Coast. And that's what that was all about. That was a money laundering operation, sticking money abroad, mostly in Israel, to come back as investments in casinos and other entertainment venues. And that's why Bernie's been put away. We have Alan Stanford, still not under arrest, even though that's what I was meeting my source about. I was arrested trying to find out why Sir Alan Stanford was not under arrest. And I certainly think I found out why. Mr. Stanford's operations appear to have been linked to a huge CIA. Here we go again, CIA. Why does that agency still exist? It doesn't do what it's supposed to. It doesn't collect intelligence. It runs drugs. It runs weapons. It's engaged in all kinds of nefarious activities, including, now we know, assassinations. A team run out of Dick Cheney's office in the White House, something I reported on the White House running those death squads about 4 years ago, and now we've got Seymour Hersh reporting something similar in comments he made at the University of Minnesota. But anyway, and then we've got AIG. And the day after I was arrested, I went to a demonstration at AIG's office here in Washington on K Street, and I noticed one thing. With 100 people, mostly people from the Service Employees International Union, demonstrating, a heavy police presence. Were those police there to protect the right of the union members to picket AIG? No. They were there to protect AIG's interests, because you got to understand, the cops now are the centurions for the people, these corporate barons, these oligarchs who are ripping us off, the people. And if things get out of hand, the police are not the people the individuals we go to for protection. They're the people we unfortunately have to put in the same boat as the people we're going after, the corporate oligarchs, because they are their centurions. These people, for the most part, deserve no respect because they do not understand. They work for the people, not for the corporations. But unfortunately, they are going to have to learn the hard way what happens when you shift your loyalty from the people who have paid you, who have trained you, who have educated you, and you've shifted your loyalty to the corporate barons, the oligarchs, and the elites of this world, and then you've got to face the music. And if they don't understand that, that's going to be their problem and not the problem of the people. And I can say that basically looking at what's happening around the world. People are rising up. There was a general strike in France this past week. Millions of people on the streets of France. They could have overwhelmed those French cops, the gendarmes, if they chose to. And it may come to that eventually, and it may be the same situation in other parts of the world. Anyway, again, if you'd like to call into the program, it's 800-313-9443. That's toll-free, 800-313-9443. So we've got Bernie Madoff and his involvement in what was called this Cornerstones Project to turn Manhattan basically into a mega casino and entertainment venue. It's just mind-boggling, really, when you think about what we've seen happen in this country since 9/11. We've seen people just ripping off people, not really caring about people being put out of their homes. It's been an absolute travesty. We've got Barack Obama, there was a major anti-war demonstration today in Washington at the Pentagon. I did not cover it. frankly, I forgot about. I knew it was coming up. I've had so many other things on my mind, basically trying to set up a legal defense fund because I am going to incur some legal fees with this problem. But many of the people at that anti-war protest were very critical of Obama. And here we have Barack Obama becoming basically an extension, although with a friendlier face, than George W. Bush was. Anyway, we will be back with hopefully your phone calls and other comments right after this short break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report. This Saturday roundup coming in tonight live from Washington, D.C. And after an incident like what I faced this past week, trying to protect the source, I've gone to extraordinary lengths to protect sources. I've met sources in the middle of forests. I've met them in closed down establishments before they opened to make sure there was no one else in there. I've met them in the middle of ball fields where the chain link fence would attenuate any sort of directional microphones. I've met them in battery out sessions in all kinds of coffee shops. Batteries out is a term for cell phones. If you take the battery out, the cell phone cannot be used as a bugging device or as a GPS device. But this is the first time I have been arrested. I've gone to jail for a source, I must say. This is the first time I've gone to prison for a source, even though, well, it wasn't prison. It was a lockup, but, it, you know, hey, you can't leave. It's you're behind locked doors, many of them. That's a first. But anyway, if I have to go to jail for a source, so be it. I will continue to do that. Anyway, what this reminds me of a speech given by, well, a fictional character, but in times like these where we don't see much of an improvement from the last administration in many different ways, it might be a good time to just listen to this fictional speech from a fictional movie, but a very good movie at that.
I thought we could mark this November the 5th, a day that's sadly no longer remembered, by taking some time out of our daily lives to sit down and have a little chat. There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think.
Even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's time for that.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Inspector, you're almost through.
Last night, I sought to end that silence. Last night, I destroyed the Old Bailey to remind this country of what it has forgotten.
More than 400 years ago, a great citizen wished to embed the 5th of November forever in our memory. His hope was to remind the world that fairness, justice, and freedom are more than words. They are perspectives. So if you've seen nothing, if the crimes of this government remain unknown to you, then I would suggest that you allow the 5th of November to pass unmarked. But if you see what I see, if you feel as I feel, and if you would seek as I seek, then I ask you to stand beside me one year from tonight, outside the gates of Parliament, and together we shall give them a 5th of November that shall never, ever be forgotten.
Well, of course, that is from the movie V for Vendetta. That was V speaking. He took over the national television system. And yes, there is something very, very wrong with this country, as well as the UK, where the movie V was set. There's something very wrong here. We elected Barack Obama for change. We've got no change. And all I've got to say, if this is change, still having a Department of Homeland Security bailing out billionaires, all I got to say, Barry, no thanks, keep the change. Barack Obama was not held in high esteem today at the anti-war demonstration at the Pentagon. Many people who used to carry posters condemning Bush and Cheney, now it looks like they've been replaced by Obama and Biden. And now these were some of the core supporters, not all of them. Many supported Cynthia McKinney's Green Party candidacy, as well as other third parties. Many supported Dennis Kucinich. Others supported Mike Gravel in the primary. But Obama looks like, in many cases, in many examples, he's just more of the same. And the AIG bailout looks like it's just a continuation. This is basically what we have is the Democratic Leadership Council, which they are closeted Republicans. And we'll talk about them and some other issues and get to your phone calls right after we come back from this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, this Saturday Roundup, and our toll-free number is 800-313-9443. And Clarence has been holding on from Oklahoma, so let's go to Clarence. Clarence, are you with us?
Oh, yes. Hi, Wayne. Great to talk to you again. Sorry for the inconvenience you had.
Well, it goes with the territory, as a friend of mine who was an old journalist, now deceased, used to say.
like someone once said, you know, the late unpleasantness you experienced. I've talked to you before a little bit about my background. I spent the first 10 years of my working life as a law enforcement officer, three years military, 7 years civilian. And it's not anything today like it was back then, I'm here to tell you.
You're absolutely right. And, my friends, Sue, I've had friends who were police officers. I knew them. I was in the Navy. They got out of the Navy, became police officers. It was a whole different operation. My mother was a police officer. So, I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. What has happened? And you probably, let me get you to tell it in your own words, since you are a former law enforcement officer.
Yeah, I was in the Air Force. I was in the security. They called it the security police at that time. They changed the names every few years. You never keep up with them. That's because that's the bureaucracy, and they do it just to keep people busy, I guess. But when I worked in that, there's none of this, acting like lording over people. That just wasn't my idea. Now, there have always been bad apples that will do that.
Oh,
but
sir.
Back then, my impression was more to the from the old Star Wars thing. What is it, more to the right side or the good side?
The good side of the Force. Or
right, yeah. And literally the Force, you know. But there are always people that are going to do that type of thing. Whenever I dealt with people, whenever I made traffic stops, I addressed the public. Now, this is something probably would blow people away today. I don't know how, what it is, but when I addressed the public, let's say, jumped ugly with me. They were sir and ma'am. And I addressed them.
Right.
And I would tell them immediately when I stopped them exactly why I stopped them.
Exactly. Right.
I stopped you for this reason. And, you know, that's just fair. That's what. And I had this old-fashioned notion. Apparently it's getting old-fashioned, and that's the problem. That I was there to serve the public, not the other way around.
Exactly.
I could give you a good example of what happened here to my sister here in this little burg I live in, which is turning into probably one of the more popular speed traps around town. And I'm serious.
We all know about those situations, yes.
This is what's going to happen, Wayne. This is what I see coming up. As the economy is imploding, sales tax, now right now where I am in Oklahoma, it's not as bad yet as it is, but it's going to get here sooner or later. And when it does, the tax rate will, people buy less income tax receipts or less tax receipts.
That's right.
So the city's got to have money to run.
So they're going to get through
low
the tickets.
On money, guess what they're going to do?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't
see that here. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
If I was walking down the street and I saw a policeman, I'd either smile, wave, or, I mean, I wouldn't even try to, you know, look cross-eyed at them.
Exactly.
They would stop you. And here, everyone that goes into this little kangaroo court here in this town is guilty until proven innocent, and the police officer wins all the time.
That's exactly what I was told is going to happen in Alexandria if I try to challenge
your word against theirs. And who's that?
Exactly.
Who's that little pipsqueak lawyer they hire as a quote call him a judge? Who's he going to side with? Well, my sister, she got stopped for a totally BS charge. She was leaving a garage sale on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. In a residential area, where the speed limit's 25 miles an hour.
Right.
She saw the policeman sitting down in the middle of the road up ahead of her. She didn't have enough time to get up any speed. He pulls her over and gives her a ticket.
Exactly.
And she couldn't get out of it. But I tell you one thing, I'm proud of my sister. She's not a dummy. She works out of, we have a local base here, an Air Force base, and she's a civil service equivalent of a lieutenant colonel.
Right.
She did some, you know, got on the computer and did some statistics. He said nearly every person in that deal, this is mainly a white, you know, we got an integrated area, but nearly all the people in there were black. She went in there and gave the statistics about how many people are black in Del City, how many people were black in that courtroom and all that, and the old city attorney kept jumping up saying, not relevant, not relevant. Well, my sister just told me it's relevant. She knew she wasn't going to get out of it, but at least she got her say.
Exactly.
And she said it was worth the $98 just to get her say.
Right, and that's where I'm basically coming from. There's a third option, of course, I have, which I can have my say, but avoid the criminal record, and that's not going to be an inexpensive thing, but it's this diversion thing, and they're talking about possibly having to go to anger management seminars. And I
well, you know, I thought about going. Well, actually, you know, Wayne, I was someone that once suggested that to me, but I probably just tell them all to go to hell, you know.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is I get very angry when the First Amendment of the Constitution is being abridged. Remember, there's only one profession that is protected by the Constitution, and that's free. That's the freedom of the press. It doesn't say anything about protecting police officers or firemen or anyone else or lawyers or judges for that matter, or even presidents or vice presidents. It says freedom of the press, and when it's infringed upon. But, you know, I remember a time where journalists, if they went up to talk to one of the police officers, police officer would say, oh, okay, well, let me, they would understand this guy wants to know who, what, when, where, why, and how, right? What you have to know in journalism.
I worked in that. But let me tell you the one thing, and I'll let you get off here and let other people get on. The one thing that gave it away was when she told me when she went down to their little, I told her when she went to the courtroom, I said, you ought to go rent you a kangaroo suit and then get you a picture frame and put it around your neck.
And you go absolutely. That's unfortunately where things have gotten. But anyway, Clarence, thanks for your call.
Okay. And can I just make that one little quick?
Yes.
The quick deal
go ahead.
The one real quick deal is they told them at the door, go ahead and just pay the fine. Just pay. We're not going to put it on your driving record. Just pay the fine.
Right.
That told me volumes right there. So I'll let you go then, Wayne. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, thank you, and tell your sister to hang in there.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks, Clarence. I'm talking about the press, freedom of the press. Let's listen to this clip of one of our. I still feel he was one of our greatest presidents who seemed to get it. Let's hear what he had to say about the press and journalists and the freedom of the press in this country. If we could play this.
Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
Well, I would certainly hope that the people that run the city of Alexandria would pay attention to what President John F. Kennedy said in that famous but often overlooked speech, stifling dissent, suppressing information. This is exactly what we've seen in this country over the last several years, and unfortunately, Mr. Obama seems to be continuing on with this. We should not have a department called Homeland Security, because if Obama thinks this is a homeland, I have some news for him. Only dictatorships have used that term in the past. The Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, apartheid South Africa, and that list can go on and on and on. But and now, of course, the regime that governs Israel talks in terms of its homeland, which, of course, it's stealing village by village and house by house from the people who have lived there for thousands of years. If he wants to put himself, put this country in that category, again, if that's change, Mr. Obama, no thanks, keep the change. We've seen many things happen. Now we've got the fact that the Attorney General of Connecticut, Richard Blumenthal, is now stating that the payouts, the bonuses to the AIG executives are much higher than originally was reported. And the White House, this White House cannot get out from under it. We now know that Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, knew about these bonus payments. But let's listen to how Robert Gibbs, President Obama's press secretary, handled a question about these AIG bonus payments this past week. If we can listen to Mr. Gibbs try to weasel his way out of this question.
You guys first found out about these bonuses last week?
I think that's true based on what I read in the newspaper.
But you gave money to AIG 2 or 3 weeks ago. how could you not know that they had these millions, hundreds of millions?
Well, again, Jake, there's according to news reports, there's existing contracts, some of which the president has asked the secretary to examine going forward. I think you also heard the president speak today about having a resolution authority that gives the government and taxpayers far more flexibility in dealing with the disposition of AIG in a way that gives taxpayers protection and flexibility, disposition that we don't currently have, but steps that we would like to see taken in order to deal with AIG as a whole.
Well, why didn't you account for the $30 billion you gave a couple weeks ago?
Again, Jake,
you're looking to retroactively attach it to the new $30 billion.
Well, they're looking through contracts.
Well, that's great. You have it, folks. What kind of answer is that to a question? It makes no sense. Either Obama knew, Geithner knew, or they didn't know. It apparently they did know, and Obama's saying he was stunned to find out these payments were made. It makes no sense. These people have the same taint about them as the last administration, and it's just unbelievable that we're just being subjected, and that's supposed to be an answer to a question from the president's press secretary. I'm afraid I don't understand what he had to say. It's beyond me. But anyway, it looks like these bonus payments were known about long before President Obama said on the Leno show that he was stunned to find out that these bonuses had been paid to these senior executives at AIG. So we've got the AIG mess. We've still got the Madoff mess. Now they're saying that some of the people defrauded by Madoff may be recompensated for their losses. I'd like to know from where. I mean, where is this money coming from? Why didn't they not know about Madoff's stashed funds, and now all of a sudden they seem to know where they're at and are going to compensate investors from these funds? It's a giant a game of three-card Monte going on here. It's absolutely amazing. Meanwhile, people are losing their jobs. This economy is in the tank. The system we have known as unbridled capitalism that allows these people to basically get away with murder, this is a broken system. There are demonstrations against this all around the world, globalization, transferring jobs offshore. No one likes it. No one likes this North American Free Trade Area, this NAFTA, and this Central American Free Trade Area, because El Salvador has now voted in what used to be the leftist guerrillas there. They're not buying off on this free trade. Neither is most of Latin America. Now we see the political stirrings against globalization starting to take place in Africa. We're seeing it in Southeast Asia and places like Thailand, Europe and France and in Germany and in Eastern Europe. Economies are collapsing. This system is broken. They're talking about a summer of rage in Britain, who knows what's going to happen there. I might also add that the Member of Parliament, George Galloway, who I know, has just been denied entry into Canada because they think he's some sort of a security risk. George Galloway, who came out against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, he's a security risk. The Immigration Minister of Canada referred to George Galloway as a street corner Cromwell. Well, maybe we need to bring back Cromwell. Maybe we need to run the oligarchs and the royalists and the monarchists out of all of our capitals and do to them exactly what Oliver Cromwell did to Charles I, and bring on a different form of government in this country and in the United Kingdom and in Canada, and just for once and for all, say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We control our future. Our future is not controlled by the the banking houses and these securities firms where these people have been ripping off the people just for a number of years. It's an absolute travesty when you see people now in tent cities in California, people who have lost their homes now being chased out of these tent cities. What are these people supposed to do? Where are they supposed to go? This reminds me of the Army raid on the bonus marchers here in Washington, those World War I veterans who camped out, who demanded their bonus money and were chased out of their tent cities here in Washington. But anyway, we'll talk about the pretty dismal future right after we come back from this short break. This is Wayne Matson from Washington, D.C. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup. And we were talking before the break about, this terrible bailout that we're experiencing for people who just don't need the money, when there's people who can't put food on the table for their children. There's people who can't pay their mortgage payments. They cannot pay their rents. People, though, are waking up. I think not only in this country, it was heartening to see the Service Employees International Union and some other folks picketing in front of the AIG building here in Washington. I would point out one thing. We were talking about cops earlier, and the cops certainly had a big presence there, there to protect basically AIG. But when the protesters went into the lobby and encountered the private security personnel, the private security personnel did not ask them to leave. Said, "Hey, listen, we're making minimum wage here. You know, we're on your side. So there is some hope that some of the people who work in security will be on our side when the chips are down, especially all of those people, private security guards who are making a minimum wage." So it's a big tent amongst us in the disenfranchised and the hacked off of this world. But let's listen to what happened in France this past Thursday, when it's estimated 3 million people. Of course, the police and the news media, the corporate news media, always downplay the numbers. That happens here too. But let's listen to what happened in France. 3 million people on the streets in a strike, protesting the neocon globalist policies of the awful French President Nicolas Sarkozy.
They were determined to get themselves noticed, and they certainly succeeded. 85,000 workers took to the streets of Paris in protest of the government's handling of the current financial crisis. Many of them were also on strike.
L'avenir n'est pas brillant.
The future isn't good. Every day in the newspapers you see people being sacked at Clairoix, being sacked at Dijon. We have to do something for the good of the nation.
But this wasn't the only demonstration. Another 200 protests were staged across the country, and the strike affected transport, energy and government services. One union leader said workers have had enough.
More and more workers are starting to feel that we're not the ones who are responsible for this crisis, but we are the first victims, with job losses, wage reductions and pressure on working conditions. We're asking the government and industry bosses to review the acts and decisions which they've been making over the years.
Polls show that three-quarters of French people support the action, and many are disillusioned with President Nicolas Sarkozy's reform pledges.
Of course we are angry with the government when you see the way they serve the banks and leave the people starving and losing their jobs. Of course we are grudging against the government.
With a large public sector workforce and a generous welfare system, France is better placed than many to ride out the economic storm. But it's feared 1 in 10 people may soon be out of work in France, and the economy could contract by 2%. These demonstrations won't help, but they do make sure discontent doesn't go unnoticed.
Well, there you have it. And hopefully what's happening in France will happen in this country. It's happening in other countries. People have had it, and the French have it right in their and their national anthem, the Marseillaise, which is Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Arise, children of the fatherland, the day of glory has arrived. And with that, that'll wrap things up for this week with the Wayne Mastin Report, the Saturday Roundup. Please join us again, this time next week, for another installment, hopefully one where I'll be free and not in some prison. Anyway, join us again this time next week. Thanks for joining us this evening.